Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
These past couple weeks have been more than interesting for the future of our country. Many of us have had different reactions to the recent elections. Some people breathed a sigh of relief and uttered a thank you prayer to the Lord because they saw that this past presidential election was not just a race between D versus R, but this was about turning our country around back to the Lord and to the founding principles that are based upon God's Word. On the day after the election on November 6, a friend of mine on Telegram sent to me a link to a video by Kirk Cameron that is called Monumental. Several years ago, Kirk Cameron did an in-depth study on the Pilgrims, our forefathers, and also a full-length documentary on the Pilgrims' formula, what he called the Liberty Matrix, for not only the founding of America, but also the saving of America. In Plymouth, Massachusetts, where the Pilgrims first landed, tucked away in a residential neighborhood overlooking northeast towards Plymouth Harbor, there is a large monument dedicated to the Pilgrims that most Americans today know nothing about. The monument, which still stands today, was built over a 70-year period and finished in 1891. It was paid for by the Continental Congress, with President Abraham Lincoln also being one of the first early contributors. The monument to the Pilgrims is massive, standing 81 feet high, and has a multifaceted dimension to it, with a center statue in the middle rising straight up to the sky that alone weighs 180 tons. Then connected to the center statue, there are four other larger statues surrounding it at its base. The purpose of the monument to the Pilgrims is to commemorate the main principles which the Pilgrims founded our nation upon. The center statue is of a woman called Faith, and she's pointing with one hand her finger up to the sky, and with the other hand she is holding a Geneva Bible, which was the Pilgrims' version of the Bible that they brought over with them on the Mayflower. The pages of the open Bible that Faith holds in her hand signifies that the Pilgrims' faith rested in the one true God, the God of heaven, our Creator, who is revealed to us in His Word, and our only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other four main statues, which are connected to faith, represent that our faith in God and God's Word is to be the center of all that our nation is based upon. But remember, this is not just faith in any faith, but in the God of the Bible and Christ Jesus our Savior, whom the Bible, God's Word, points to and is revealed in all Scripture from cover to cover. Then going counterclockwise, the next statue connected to faith is called Morality. Morality has the Ten Commandments held in one hand and the scroll of Revelation in the other, that again signifies that true liberty does not come from enforced morality from without, but inner morality, that's transformational morality that comes from within, of lives are being transformed by the teaching of all of Scripture from both the Old Testament through the New Testament, which again points to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Engraved on either side of the Statue of Morality are two smaller statues. One is called the Evangelist, and on the other side, the other one is called the Prophet or the Preacher, which again emphasizes the Pilgrim's message that only true inward morality is obtained through the preaching of God's Word and the proclamation of the Gospel, which is the only way we can be truly set free, set at liberty from our sins and be in a right relationship with Holy God. The next statue that follows Morality is a statue of Law, which is of a man holding a book of law that's based upon the moral law by which people, a society, a nation are judged. The Pilgrims recognized that true law is not to be just a man-made thing, but is to be a reflection of a higher law, a greater law, God's law, which alone is good, perfect, and right. Embedded in the Law statue, there's also two more statues on the sides, one with the scales of justice held on one side, showing there must be equality under the law for all, whether you're rich or poor, and that the punishment must fit the crime. But at the same time, the other side of the Law statue has the word mercy engraved in it, reminding us that a society, a government that administrates justice must also temper it by extending a hand of mercy, which again is a reflection of God and His law, for God is both a just and merciful God. The third statue following Morality and Law is a statue of Education, which has a mother teaching her children with a wreath on her head, symbolizing that she is seated in victory as she teaches her children. But this mother is not just teaching her children any kind of education, but a biblical worldview education, because her main textbook that she holds in her hand is the open Word of God. As with the other statues engraved on either side of the education statue are the words on one side, youth, and the other side, wisdom, including a statue of an elderly wise sage. You see, the whole education statue reminds us that our teaching, the education of our youth, is to last a lifetime, and that all of us, not just the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, the missionary, who are the paid hired guns, it's their job to do, but no, it's all of God's people are to be the teaching ministers, the teaching priests, who are to take part in this training and education of our youth, including the elderly in our society, who are that wise sage. The bottom line is that all of God's people are to be engaged in the ministry of teaching and imparting wisdom to our youth, which is again centered on what? Centered on God's Word. And we're to instruct the future generations how to live and serve God and others in this world from a biblical worldview in all we say and in all we do. The final fourth statue in the Pilgrim's formula for the founding America is liberty. This outcome of liberty is in fact the fruit of all the groundwork that had been laid beforehand, that is connected to and the result of the Pilgrim's founding principles. The Liberty Man statue depicts a well-built, a buff man who is decked in armor with a sword held firmly in one hand, and with the other hand he holds the broken chains of tyranny and bondage. And then on his back, there is draped a defeated lion's skin, symbolizing that the pilgrims defeated their oppressors, the rulers of England, who had sought to keep them in bondage and inhibit their freedom of worship and the studying and reading of God's word for themselves. But what is noteworthy is that the pilgrims defeated tyranny not through fighting or through physical force, but through unrelenting faith in God and their willingness to live a sacrificial life laid down for the sake of their children's future. But even though their liberty was not achieved through battle, the eyes of this liberty man overlooks the harbor are open and wide-eyed, like he's ever watchful, for even though he's seated in liberty and enjoying the fruits of liberty, he is ever ready to stand up and fight and to protect the liberty he has gained for himself, for his family, and for his nation. Lastly, on both sides of the Liberty statue, like with the other statues, are engraved the additional fruits of liberty that stated on one on each side, one saying tyranny overthrown, and the other side peace. Did you catch that? The ultimate fruit of liberty is peace. Not just any type of peace, but peace with God and peace with our fellow man. It is a peace that flows from the freedom to worship God in faith and to proclaim to our children and to all the inhabitants of the land and even to all the world the gospel peace that comes from God's word, which points us again back to heaven, to our true liberty that's found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. William Bradford, the governor of the Plymouth Colony for over 30 years, looking back, said this about why the pilgrims came and left England and they came to the New World. He said, "We did it. All for the glory of God and for the advancement, the furtherance of the gospel." You know, there are many takeaways that we could look at from this Pilgrim's Monument, including lessons on morality, the application of law and civil government, and the purpose of education and teaching and training our children. But the biggest takeaway is this: there is an absolute connection between faith and liberty, or even a revival of faith that results in liberty as a nation. To the degree a people, a nation, has true spiritual revival that is rooted and grounded in faith, which is faith in the one true God and in His Word, is the degree that a people, a nation, experiences both inward liberty spiritually and also outward liberty as a nation. And conversely, when a nation is not seeking the Lord and has disregarded and even despised the Bible, God's Word, and is going in the opposite direction of faith and revival, that people, that nation, is no longer a flourishing society, but rather a decaying society in the areas of morality, law, and education, and is spiraling ever downward into a loss of true liberty, and will soon, as history shows us again and again, fall into tyranny. Now, this past week on November 11th, our nation celebrated Veterans Day, which we absolutely should, because it is an extension of the price that we pay as a nation in defense of our liberty. But there's also another day that we should also celebrate, honor, and remember this week that occurred on the very same day on November 11th. A lot of people may not know or remember that over 404 years ago, the pilgrims, even before stepping foot onto the new world and landing at Plymouth Rock, they put together and signed the Mayflower Compact on November 11, 1620. This Mayflower Compact was a pledge, a covenant, that the pilgrims and others aboard the ship made before God and before and with one another that formed the basis of our future country, that our Constitution of the United States of America was later based upon as one of our central and founding documents. November 11th, Veterans Day, and the signing of the Mayflower Compact are both an external expression of liberty. But this liberty that we still have today in our nation, you know, it doesn't come from a gun or flow from a writer's expressive pen, or even is our liberty, it's not embedded in a massive monument dedicated to the founding principles by the pilgrims. Our liberty is a gift from God that comes from the hand of God himself, that God bestows as a blessing to his people who seek to worship him, honor him, obey him, and walk with him. Psalm 114:15 says, "Blessed, happy is a people whose God is the Lord." And also in Proverbs 14:34, it reminds us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, after watching this video called Monumental that my friend sent to me the day after our nation's presidential election, I realized something very important. You know, this election may be over, but our task, our job as believers in bringing our nation back to our founding principles, and more importantly, back to the Lord God himself, to know God and to walk in his ways according to his word, you know, it's just begun. So where do we start? How do we start to turn our nation back to the Lord? The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that it is the prayer of God's people who turn back to the Lord first, that is the key. God promises in his word, saying, "If my people," God's people, "if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then," God says, "then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So I encourage you this day to pray for our nation, pray for revival, pray for our nation to come back to the Lord, and that the knowledge of God and God's word would sweep across our land again and throughout the world as the waters cover the sea. But as Dr. Robert Morgan, a pastor friend of mine, said, pray for revival, but let it begin with you. Pray for revival and let it begin with me. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week as we continue to examine this topic a little deeper by looking at the biblical manual, the biblical principles that are found in God's Word, specifically in the book of 2 Chronicles, that gives us additional keys, additional principles for revival, and how to turn a nation back to the Lord, not according to man, but according to God's Word. Until then, God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.